My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Not to reveal that we've been here a long time, but this kid is 33 now. I saw a news story about him. He's the new United States ambassador to Oman.
All right. Somebody's got to do that job.
You get in the door early.
Ambassador job.
You get in there early, young, people get to know who you are, and then it's just easier. Much tougher when you wait.
I'm sure I would have thought to tell my kids that when they were young.
He's the new ambassador to Oman. That kid, by the way. So that's a feel-good story.
Entirely on the back of that appearance on our show.
That's
for weeks on end. Really.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I shouldn't entirely. It started the ball rolling for him.
Yes. Local politicians took a liking. Football Friday is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
If the sound of you taking a sip of that coffee just now was audible to our audience, you just made a lot of people thirsty for a cup of coffee.
Is that right?
Yeah. That sound sounded. There's no way anyone. Well, I guess someone might think it was tea. It's a hot beverage slurp. It wasn't a bit aggressive slurp, but like it was audible to me.
It's actually Lake Hour.
But I'm sitting in here with headphones on. Lake Hour, 2 days in a row, making an appearance on the show. And I just thought, I don't really want coffee. I almost never drink coffee at this time. I just don't. It messes me up, man. I'm a very delicate being. I'm a big, burly dude, but any little thing can just tweak me out. So like caffeine at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
Forget it. It just really could
mess
me
up. There are a lot of people like that.
So, but with that said, like I heard that sound. I thought I could go for a cup of coffee right now.
I made some. I didn't take it all. What I did take.
Hang on, I'll be right back. No,
I'm not. What I did take is a stab at the Week 19 schedule this morning.
I saw some action on the sites.
I don't think it could get much easier. I could be wrong. Like, they could do something.
Well, all along, it's
made
sense.
They could break
form. Yeah, sure. Yeah, right. I mean, what have we said for years? That first Saturday game, that's the AFC South game. So, that lock that in. It's the Houston Texans hosting someone. That makes sense. It's not a super attractive team, and they probably won't be playing someone super attractive.
Let's play it out, like, in order. So that would be against either the Chargers or the Steelers or the Ravens. Right? That could still be the Ravens.
Okay.
If Pittsburgh flips that, it would be Baltimore at 5. If Pittsburgh wins tomorrow and Baltimore wins, it would be Pittsburgh at 5. If Pittsburgh loses, Chargers win, it's the Chargers at 5. It's one of those three teams. I think that's Saturday afternoon.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
I like that the Steelers and the Ravens, who are playing this Saturday, will probably also play next Saturday. That's my thinking is that you don't want to force somebody else into short rest.
Right.
And for those two teams who haven't played since the previous Wednesday either, that isn't short rest. So they could also play each other.
Yep.
And then you need another game for Saturday, which would be Houston and the Chargers, right. And I think that's fine.
The only thing that gets in the way of it a little bit to me is Lamar Jackson's presence as a two-time MVP and the Ravens as a thought-to-be contender. If they're the opponent for Houston, I could see the network thinking we're wasting Lamar Jackson in this early window. But the Saturday point, I think, might override that. Probably should, from a fairness standpoint, override that.
And they've played on Saturday a bunch. Like last year, the second round game was on Saturday. The night they lost to Tennessee, when they were the one. That was on a Saturday. The game here was on a Saturday. Yep, so right. I think it lines up.
I think it does too. I've liked all along a 4-5 for that Monday night slot because I think the thinking is that leaves fewer teams that could be impacted by having to wait until Monday night to find out who they're playing.
Every year they've done it that way.
Right. So, you know, if it's Baltimore, could, you know, ABC, ESPN be like, hey, you know, that because that's 4-5, that could work for them, but now you're giving it's not fair. So I like the NFC game, which I think is what you did, is putting the four down there on Monday night.
Because the Lions and Vikings would have the shortest rest playing Sunday night. And that's high stakes. That's the one game this weekend that's high stakes. So I think, in fairness, you'd want to give them the extra day. The Lions especially. Like, the Lions have been such a story this year. That game could be Lions-Rams.
Right, whoever loses that game Sunday night between the Lions and the Vikings is going to be the four in the NFC.
Will be the five.
Oh, the five, excuse me. The wild card team, right.
And the four will be either the NFC South winner or the Rams. But the Rams are starting Garoppolo. Like, they could move, but they don't seem to care that much. They're prioritizing rest. So if they lose and Tampa beats New Orleans as a 2-touchdown favorite, there you go. The Monday night game. The 4-5 in the NFC will be the Vikings Lions loser at LA. That's great.
Yes, it is. That's a very good Monday night capper.
It's great, and it gives that little bit of extra element of fairness to the Lions-Vikings loser who will have to go on the road facing three road games in the playoffs versus two home games to the winner and a trip to California.
With a 14-win season.
With a 14-win season. That's right. That's your Monday night game.
That's incredible.
And Sal says, we went through it the other day. Like, every year, this is the fourth year of it, every year that's been a 4-5 game. And in the NFC, I don't think it has to be in the NFC.
Right.
But I think the AFC is sort of settled. So I think that's your Monday night.
Yeah.
And even if it's Tampa, it's a little bit less for me if it's Tampa or Atlanta, but I think it still works.
All right. Because one of those could be the four.
Yes. If the Rams win, they're the three for sure.
Right.
With Garoppolo.
I like how I just learned that Jimmy Garoppolo's on the Rams.
There you go.
I probably knew it at some point or another, but it's nice. I feel like, here comes another coffee sip. Sorry. You were very quiet.
Become a distraction.
You were very quiet that time.
It's become a distraction.
I'm just trying to help, you know, the coffee industry move coffees.
I can tell. So you have, if the plan is, the puzzle for me is the two AFC games on Saturday next week, 4:30 and 8. 4:30 Houston, that's the law. Like Seinfeld had that joke where my parents turned 70, so they moved to Florida because that's the law. Houston, that's the law. 4:30 on Saturday, 8 o'clock, AFC North. Then if 4-5 NFC is Monday night, which we think makes sense, I think you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take Sunday night next, the Eagles. We know they're locked in as the two.
Right.
Green Bay. Or Washington, I think, maybe, but Green Bay.
Either one. Washington's a division rival. Like, it's not as hot as like Dallas, Philly has been, or but that could be that definitely works.
Green Bay, Philadelphia is probably the game of the weekend, unless it's like Lions, Rams. But still, like that's great. Big market, Packers. There's your Sunday night, which leaves 1 and 4:30 on Sunday for the Bills game. And the other NFC game, Tampa, Washington, Bills, Denver's.
Tampa, Washington sounds like it should be on a Saturday, by the way. I'm just saying.
It was. When Brady played for Tampa in Washington, it was on a Saturday. So you might have that. That could happen. This is a much different Washington scene,
yes,
though.
Yes, it is. With Jaden Daniels, like they're one of the coolest stories in the league this year. I think, right? He's
well, unless you count Denver's. Which I need some acknowledgement that I said Denver's. The Bills against the Denver's. They're taking them lightly up there. You know it. You can hear it. You just listen to the radio show.
Yeah.
1 o'clock Sunday works. What if it's Cincinnati? Maybe that's better. That's a better game nationally. Maybe that's the late game and you move the Bucks. Otherwise, I think it's pretty easy.
Yeah. I like it. I don't have any. I think it's too well thought out for me to poke holes in.
Well, we'll try to do better next time.
I already said, the one thing that could mess up Houston at 4:30 is if it's Baltimore, but the rest factor should win out there in fairness. So I think that all makes perfect sense.
We are obviously, we can't pretend that we're not looking past New England. And hey, we're culpable. Go ahead. 803-0550, Football Friday. The guys are looking past New England. The story of the week has been who sits, who doesn't. Find that the injury report has one or whatever guys that aren't, whatever. Like, a bunch of them are not going to play. Like, that's
right.
Injury report or not, that's going to be the story here.
I love the injury report because it seems like most everyone's healthy, and even the only guy that's ruled out of this game is expected to be fine to play next week, and that's Bernard, inside linebacker, an important piece, guy that they really missed last year in their second playoff game. I'm a fan of the injury report because it looks encouraging, but yeah, I don't expect many of the people listed on it as fine to do much of anything on Sunday because there's no reason for it, you know. So, you know, how soon they get out of, you know, Josh Allen handing the ball off a few times to keep his starting streak up, I think probably dictates how long any of the starting offensive linemen play. I would expect them to come out with Allen, provided they have enough personnel to do that, and they should be able to manage that with maybe one offensive line practice call-up, and they'll have a complement of five dudes, and, like, there you go.
They've had games where, like last week, where the backup line was on the field.
Yep.
So they've got guys for that. So how do you rank this? You know, the injury report can factor in, but if really you don't have so much pressure on that front to sit certain guys, like the next, I think for me, this is debatable. I'll throw it out there. Who's the next most important guy on the team? Dawkins maybe is the next most important guy on the team. I think it's Dawkins or my corners. And so who do I want to sit? If a safety or two, a linebacker, someone else, a wide receiver has Amari Cooper has a nagging thing.
He is in a sweatsuit all day long.
Cooper,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't think he's the next most important guy, but he's a veteran guy. He is banged up enough that he showed up on the injury report after a day of what Wednesday was the walkthrough simulated thing, whatever. So they actually practiced on Thursday, and there he is with a back, full participant, but still. Yeah, I don't need. If I'm in such bad shape at receiver depth wise in the game that I would have to tap Amari Cooper on his shoulder pad and say, you need to actually go in now because we're out of guys. I'm sorry, I'm playing with no receivers if I have to.
Okay,
like I will line up however I need to line up.
Man, he's had a few things already. Like
yeah,
he also landed on his head on the touchdown catch against the Jets. And I read he went to the tent. Like, there was an evaluation of a head injury for Cooper, and then he was back.
Right, because he landed on his tailbone, but then hit the back of his head on the ground when he landed. I was really worried about him when that play happened.
Like, he stayed down.
I thought, oh, no, yeah, right. And then he was back in the game, and again, it seemed fun. But anyway, it's been a few different things. He's still wearing I saw a locker room, celebration video after the Jet game, and you can see he's still got some kind of a brace on around his thumb and wrist area. So he's had things. I just don't need to mess with any of that. Even if they're all healed.
Makes sense.
Just stand over there. You can get the Diggs treatment here. You're not Diggs, but whatever.
Fine.
I don't need to mess with that.
Fine. Makes sense.
I might say the same thing if they can afford to do it about Kincaid. Like, he's had, leg, but he's still wearing a big brace on that leg.
Fine.
So I don't need him dressing. I don't need, I don't think I can call up a practice squad tight end because I might want to prioritize other positions, but whatever. Quentin Morris, Dawson Knox.
You have the other guy too, Davidson.
Is he on the active roster?
No, but He has been called up before.
Right. Oh, that's why I just said. I think they're probably going to prioritize defensive back and offensive line, I'm guessing. And they only get two.
Well, so what do you need to do to replace Kincaid?
Nothing.
Nothing. Right?
It doesn't. Yeah, I play with one tight end.
Fine.
Or I play with no tight ends.
I play like a normal team.
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
No.
I mean, I got nothing invested in this game at all.
Another way to discuss that is, like, this is a risk-reward, or not even reward. We're not trying to win anything Sunday. But, like, who are the right bets to have sit? Cooper makes sense. What happens in the playoffs if you don't have Kincaid or you don't have Cooper at 100%? Like, they're not really there for you. What does that mean to all of this? Because that's why you want to sit guys, like, that makes sense. But part of it is just sort of your playoff bet. And who do you think you're going to need that you don't want to lose? And these guys are both interesting. Like Cooper, I don't know, maybe not. Which one is more important?
I still prioritize Cooper over Kincaid. I think the Bills still...
For this playoff?
Yes. I think the Bills still are not in a place where I feel great about them succeeding, winning against a team that's really good at man-to-man defense. And Cooper is valuable for that. To win one-on-one, to maybe even force a team to devote a second guy there. If it's the Broncos, maybe they just put Surtain, because I think they do this, they just put Surtain on a guy like, all right, you're single on him, and then we'll worry about everybody else. And... You know, I think there's value in even having that. Like, I'm taking your best guy, and like, yeah, you might be shutting down one of my guys, but that's what he's going to do. And if my other guys can get off, then I can work around you. So I think Cooper offers something that I think they just don't have. They're not long in it at all. They don't have a lot of it.
I think that's right. But he has 20 catches. So what they've been doing here, winning almost every week since they traded for him, has, what is it, like 2 points X per game with Cooper? It's not like the playoffs are different. That's what you said first.
That's right. And I also think there's value, like I said, if he's drawing your best guy or you're doubling him, that works for me. And I think one of those two things is going to happen, depending on who you're playing. I think with Denver, I'd almost certainly expect them to put Surtain on him and then just worry about the rest. And if the rest is getting their heads caved in, then maybe they pivot. And there's even if you're not producing, I think that there's value in that. And they don't have another guy that really, to me, works that. Like, if he's not in the lineup, then I don't know what Denver does exactly with Patrick Surtain. You know, they just take whoever's lined up across from him and say, that's your dude.
That's a really interesting storyline next week. If that's the team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when they played, I'll learn more about this between now and then, but when they played Vegas, they put him on Bowers, and he took away Bowers. Like, right. Bowers is top five in the league in catches, all positions. Like, he's over 100 catches. But when they played Denver, they put their shutdown corner on the tight end, and it worked. I don't know it's not a perfect matchup for Denver playing the Bills.
Right. Because they don't have a guy that really shines in that way. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm way off base and they do something completely different. But I think I felt this way earlier in the year when we were talking about Cooper and Kincaid both being questionable or something some week. Like, which one matters more? Maybe this was ahead of the Ram game or I don't remember which game.
Yep.
But Cooper was the answer for me then because of everything I'm saying now, and it still is. Nothing has changed in that way. So, I think he should matter even if he's not catching five passes. I think
Shakir.
I don't need him to play, but you know if he takes a few snaps, I don't know. It's not going to drive me crazy. I don't think I need to break glass in case of emergency with Shakir.
Somebody needs to dress.
Right. That's why I'm saying. Like to me, Cooper outranks him, even though Shakir is the far more important and productive player to them this season on the field, and I certainly don't want to be casual about the potential of exposing him to injury here, but he hasn't had a bunch of nagging stuff like Cooper has.
As far as we know.
And He also is a different fit in the offense that, you know, that I'd be very surprised if we came in everybody healthy to a playoff game against anyone and they said, we're putting our top corner on Shakir.
By the way, under 40 yards for the last 5 weeks, Shakir. Catch rate is down. Not much is happening there.
Yeah.
They're winning. Who else? Benford and Douglas are two of my most important guys, period. Like, whatever. I don't need to risk them in this game.
And I have enough depth there. I should be able to make that work. I mean, didn't we even see Codrington taking snaps on defense last week against the Jets?
Yes.
I mean, if he plays the whole game at corner, I'm fine.
I think I'm fine.
I just don't care. I think Benford and Douglas is where I'd start. I mean, Milano probably with all the injuries, like that might cut both ways. Like, I don't know that they still want to keep getting looks at him. So, I mean, there's that, like trying to ramp him up. But man, if they're comfortable with where he is right now, I wouldn't be putting him on the field. But the two corners, I think I even would prioritize the two corners over Milano. But not that you have to. I mean, they've got guys that can play in these places. But the corners, I think, are where I'd start. Because in the backfield, like defensive backfield, Hamlin's been out like a month here or 3 weeks or whatever it is. I might want to get him up and running. Bishop's a rookie, and he may end up really mattering. I mean, who knows? He may end up starting ahead of Hamlin. We'll see what happens. But I don't. Maybe Rapp is the guy back there that I would say don't bother with Taylor Rapp today. He's been nursing stuff, and I think his spot in the starting lineup when healthy is much more firm than Hamlin versus Bishop. I think there's a toss-up on what to do there opposite Rapp. But so Rapp is probably with Douglas and Benford.
We will eventually find out. Sal will join us today at 4 to offer his thoughts on what the Bills might do with their inactives this week and call-ups. Mike White is up. And how important is it that, like, Trubisky not play this whole game? Is Mike White up just to be insurance, or does he play the second half?
Maybe he plays the second half so they can protect their backup quarterback if they need him.
Yep.
That makes sense. And it also, I mean, it certainly prevents the possibility of feeling like you've got to put Josh Allen back in the game if something were to happen to Trubisky. Nobody wants. We talked about that with Sal yesterday. Yep. I mean, you can get by there. You just hand it off a bunch of times and get out of the game, but don't worry about it. So it's not like you'd be exposing Allen to, you know.
Ray Davis is my quarterback 3 before Allen is.
Right? Okay.
There's no reason to risk anything.
But now Mike White's there. And interesting, right? That's a contract even for next year, too. That was a tag on that story. Like, initially it was like they've signed him to the active roster, and then following up on that was, oh, it's actually for next year too. Hmm. So he's,
well,
whatever, he's on the roster.
I'm fine with it.
Yep.
We will have Sam Panayotovich next, Sal Capaccio at 4, picks at 6. Should be fun. Football Friday going into week 18, Bills Patriots here on WGR. Right now it's time for a break. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.